Howdy, crew. Hello, and welcome to the Profundity Podcast, a podcast hosted by me, Andrew Whipple, in which I talk for a period of time. In fact, we're going to make sure that we set that period of time now, because that's a thing that makes it easier for me to want to actually do this. If I tell myself, hey, look, no, it's fine. You're not going to spend all this much time doing things. It's just going to be a quick, easy, breezy half an hour. So we've got half an hour on the clock, and we're going to see if we can wrap this all up right in that time. I'm debating whether or not this is going to be the first episode of the return to form, the first version, return from the reboot, or whether this is going to be the second, because I did record one about 2 weeks ago that I just forgot to post, and the more I thought about it, the more I was like, it's not the greatest, it's not the grandest, but who knows, maybe you've already heard it, and so you can tell me yourself whether you think it's the greatest or the grandest. I'm not sure. These are the things that we must question. We must question our lot in life. But one thing that I did say in that particular first episode is something on the lines of, hey, a thing that'll make this more coherent and make this a little bit more enjoyable is if I know that I have at least one thing that I want to talk to over the course of this episode. And this time I actually do know what that thing is, even though I only came up with it in the last 10 seconds before I started recording. So here we go. That's the life that we lead. These are the decisions that we make. Something sounds weird and sounds off, and I think, okay, I got a little bit closer and it sounds better now than it did, but nonetheless, it doesn't quite, it's something's odd, something's off. Is the stereo things weird? Is it in the right setting? Is the gain up right? Pause for a moment, and by pause I mean I'm just going to be quiet while I'm not going to actually edit these things, because that takes more effort than is necessary, but just give me a moment. No, okay, we're all set, pretty reasonably. Maybe I can turn the gain up a little bit, but like that's, sure, a little bit better, a little more NPR. I'm in a class right now that is all about the creation of podcasts, so hey, that's fun. But it's the sort of antithesis of this type of podcast. This is the very This American Life, the very Radio Lab, the well-produced narrative nonfiction, is the terminology that is being used. Well-produced narrative nonfiction. So, like I said, these are your NPR-style shows, This American Life, Radio Lab. These would also be your 99% Invisibles, the shows on Gimlet, Serial, things like that, that are telling a story, telling a nonfiction story, mostly, although we have the option of doing fictional ones, but whatever. Telling a nonfiction story, and telling it in a very well-produced and sort of according to the style of radio documentary. Radio documentary is another sort of term for what we're doing. And it's interesting, because I don't love those kinds of shows. They aren't quite what I get out of podcasting. They're not the reasons why I like podcasting. What I love about podcasting is the really, really intimate connection that you get with people just being people. The fact that it is such this wide open narrative that it, the shows that I attend are more along the lines of this, although generally they're not monologue podcasts. Interesting that I do a monologue podcast while not actually listening to or liking really any monologue podcasts. Also, apologies if you can hear that noise in the background. There's always work and construction and people doing landscaping and such in the area nearby the bedroom in which I record, so sorry about that. Sorry about that. Excuse me. See, this actually does have a mute button on this microphone, but it's a mute button here. You can actually hear it. Listen. And everything is mute. Whoa. Hold the phone. Why did it not mute? There we go. It muted. But you heard the click noise when it came back. So that's the, in an actual radio microphone, you would likely have a, what's called a cough button. And the idea of a cough button is so that you can cough and it not show up on the microphone. So it's this nice little button that you hit that completely mutes it out, but it's a silent button. It doesn't clickety clack like that, to alert, put an unpleasant noise in the person's ear, and also to just alert them that the cough button was used. The whole point is that you can just skate on by and no one is the wiser, and that would be nice, and that would be ideal. Of course, in this case, you would also be able to hear that it cut out, that all this whiny, buzzy background noise got cut out as well, so who knows. But I tend to veer much more towards the style of podcasts that are long form, that are just sort of people talking, usually comedy-based. What I like is podcasts that sort of entertain me, and I like them to expose me to new worldviews, but expose me to worldviews via new people, and in a way that feels very, very, very honest and off the cuff. Which is not at all to say that the other style is not, the well-produced style is not good. It is. It's great, and it's arguably way more, not even arguably, it is way more skillful to produce than any sort of less controlled and less produced form of audio. But it's not entirely my jam. It's not entirely, nor is it my jelly, nor is it my peanut butter. It, although, again, always, and that's the thing that sort of rubs me a little bit the wrong way about this class, it's that it's sort of being touted as the what good radio and good podcasting is, which, again, I will not deny that people like it, and I will not deny that it is good, and I will also not deny that, like, that is the focus of the class, and so it makes sense that this is what we're going to focus on, and since it's the class, I'd much rather take the class in the harder-to-produce thing, even if I don't like it quite as much, that will give me some help on producing the easier-to-produce things, rather than just spend my whole life making the easy-to-produce things and then never be able to do. Like, I want to be able to do the thing that's difficult, even if I don't necessarily like it. And it's with all of these things, you know, you might read a book in an English class that is a great book, but is not pleasant to read, and you might not like it, but it does teach you things along the way. You might, in a film studies class, watch old movies to learn about the history of it, even if you don't necessarily like the movies that you're watching, and it is valuable, and you do get actual skills, and you do learn actual things from it. So, this is all my long-winded way to say my class on podcasts is actually not one of my favorite classes this quarter, which is insane thing for me to say if you know me and know me as the person that likes podcasts a lot. I wonder what that person was saying. I think I heard it through my headphones, so I'm assuming you heard it as well, but who knows, maybe, whatever. But it's fun. We just got our group assignments, so I know the story that I'm going to be producing on. It's interesting because one of the stories I pitched was not one that I wanted to do. It was one that I was kind of interested in, but it wasn't. I was more interested in potentially producing other people's stories and sort of working on someone else's story, which is what I'm doing. I'm working with a friend of mine actually from high school who happens to be in this class, which is yay exciting. That sounded a little more sarcastic than I meant it to be. It's genuinely very yay exciting, but we're working on one of her ideas that she pitched, and it's interesting because the idea that I pitched was actually one of the ones that the class liked a lot. Humble brag, whatever. The reason why is because it's very salacious and kind of, it's got a good hook to it. It's got a good hook to it. I will not deny that. Has to do with this murder that happened here on my school's campus back in the 70s. And the fact that it was like, it doesn't really come up and not a ton of people know about it. Unless you hear about it it's sort of an urban legend that doesn't grip the public consciousness all that much, which I find interesting, but not quite interesting enough to dedicate my time this quarter to doing that show. But it's neat because I pitched it, and I pitched it especially sort of from the perspective of, like, this is kind of a thing I've been obsessed with since freshman year when I learned about it, and now I'm not one of the ones working on it, which is fun. But that's also really fun. I'm really excited to see what these people that don't have the same familiarity with the story as I do, because I learned about it in the class freshman year, and then ever since then I've been just a little bit mildly obsessed with it, and keep coming back to it over and over again. So I'm kind of excited to see what people who don't have that obsession bring to the story, and I'm more excited to be working on someone else's thing than working on the thing that I pitched myself. So that's fun. So that's radio. That's radio, man. But the thing that I wanted to discuss today, and T, I gave you a little bit of content in the beginning. The thing I wanted to discuss today is a movie that came out last year, a movie that is the highest grossing film of all time by some metric. I don't know whether I don't know the exact details, but it broke records, and it is the new Star Wars movie. The new Star Wars movie's out, guys. The new Star Wars movie came out months ago, but a month ago, but guys, we're going to talk about it, and we're going to spoil things, and so this is your cue to disapparate, and you will miss out on any of the fun non-Star Warsy things that I talk about along the way, but qu'est la vie, as they do not say in the France. Final spoiler warning, out you go, goodbye, you're gone now, I hope, and if you're not, then it's going to suck when I tell you that Han Solo dies. Yep, that's what happens. Han Solo dies in the movie. That's what you get for not leaving at spoiler warnings. I actually don't particularly care to talk about that too much. See, this is the thing, is I have so many thoughts about Star Wars, and thoughts that have been crystallized a little bit over and over the last few weeks. But about a week after I saw, I've only seen the movie twice, and the second time that I saw it, a few days after that, me and my friend who used to host a YouTube show in the what was I going to say, in the early 2000s, in 2012 and 2013, that was all about talking about geeky shit. Our first ever episode that we did was about Star Wars, and about the question of, is Star Wars science fiction or fantasy? And so we decided, hey, we haven't done this thing in like 3 years, so let's bring it back. We're going to bring it back, ladies and gentlemen, and we are going to do it all about Star Wars. And we thought, great, this will probably be a little bit of a longer episode, maybe like 40 minutes or whatever, because our usual episodes were somewhere between 10 and 20. And we talked for 2 hours straight. So I've been working on editing that, although I haven't worked on editing it over the last week because I got a little burned out on it, but I'll do that this week. I'll do that this week and edit it, and maybe by the time that this audio episode actually comes up, you will be able, I'll be able to link in the down there show notes nonsense the one of five or six, I think it's going to be five or six parts, about the thoughts. But the point of me talking about that is that I have actually discussed this a lot and got a lot of my rambly thoughts out over the course of that 2 hours, and you should know that that means I have at least 2 hours worth of thoughts to say on this movie that I'm going to condense into 10 to 20 more minutes. But I don't know. I think there are the overall thing that I feel about this movie, which has been said by a lot of people, but overall I liked it. I liked it. I liked it a lot, and I love it the more and more that I think about it, which is in stark contrast to a lot of, especially action-y movies, where I love them, usually the way that it works, you love them walking out of the theater because it's fun, it's just a blast, it's a big adrenaline rush, and you're seeing it on a big screen with loud music and a bunch of people around you, even though I don't love watching movies with people, but that's a topic for another day. All that happens, and then the more you think about it, the more it starts to break down. This is a perfect case of what happened with The Dark Knight Rises. I loved that movie coming out of the theater. I thought, especially because I saw it with one of my best friends in high school during a, on the night of the premiere, and it was a Batman movie marathon thing. And so we showed up at 6 PM at the theater, shuffled on in, watched Batman Begins, had a 10 minute break, watched Dark Knight, had a 10 minute break. And then right before midnight started watching Dark Knight Rises. And especially after watching them all three in a row like that, all three in a theater, it was tired. You were exhausted. It was so much fun. And it felt like a really good, even though it's a sort of silly conclusion, it felt like a satisfying conclusion, especially when you've gone through that whole ordeal that, sure, you're thinking about you're going through that whole ordeal and you just walk away being like, yes, that was the movie to end the Batman, great. And then the more you think about it, the less and less you like it. All these little flaws and holes start popping up more and more, and you start thinking about things more and more, and the logic comes in, and logic starts to break down, and thinking about actual thematics, stuff like that, and it's like, oh, it doesn't quite work as well. You're also divorcing it from the fact that, hey, it worked really, really well as a bookend and repeat parallel of Batman Begins, but then you were watching them all three in one, and then you saw, hey, Batman Begins happened, and then you're Dark Knight Rises happens, and you get to actually feel all of those parallels and the way that it wraps up those stories in really neat and interesting ways. And then the more you go away from it, it starts divorcing itself from Batman Begins and blah, blah, all this stuff happens, and then you start liking the movie less and less and less. Notice what I'm saying, you, when what I mean by all of that is me. This is what happened to me. And that's why it happens with a lot of movies. That's the way it happens with, you know, James Bond movies, that's the way it happens with Marvel movies, is that they're great walking out of, not all of them, some Marvel movies are genuinely fantastic, but you'll love them walking out of the theater because it's a big action blast, and it's cathartic, and it plays on your emotions in just the right way, and it works well in that scenario, and then you think about it more, and you have more distance from it, and it starts to settle, and it starts to cool. The exact opposite is what's happened with The Force Awakens. The Force Awakens is one that I liked a lot walking out of the theater, and have just grown to love more and more and more and more and more as I think more about it. Which is interesting. It's not to excuse the flaws that are in the movie. And I think my number one problem with the movie, which you will hear me repeat over and over again if you watch the A-Dub Club, by the way, is the name of said dumb YouTube show. If you watch our many hours of Star Wars content that'll be coming out soon, is that it feels so much like Act 1 of a three-part story, which in and of itself is not a problem, I guess. But I just would have liked it to be more self-contained than it was, to be more of a singular story that allows for the possibility of stuff happening, but rather than a, you know that the next movies are coming out and this is just part one of a three-part story. That being said, the cool part about that is that means that there's a very, very strong chance that this will be the most coherent thematically and narratively and thematically coherent Star Wars trilogy we've gotten so far, because both the first and second ones don't have that to the greatest extent. But whatever. That's the thing I don't like about it. And the combination of that and the other thing that my overall sort of thesis and philosophy of the movie is that if I think about the movie in terms of just what it is, I love it. I love it, I love it, I love it. If I think about the movie in terms of here are the better choices they could have made, then I start to like it less and less, because for almost, not all, but for a lot of the choices that they made in that movie, there might have been a better one. Although, again, better depending on your perspective. I think better for someone like me that's a more mature now than I was when I started watching the Star Wars series. I know more about cinema. I'm older. I know more about the world. There are more mature things that I would have liked them to take, directions I would like them to take, more deconstructionist approaches I would have liked them to take, all sorts of things like that. But again, that's just coming from my own perspective, so who knows whether that would make it a better movie overall for the masses. I don't know. But if I think about it in terms of this is what it is, it works for me. It works for me. I like it. I dig it. It's great. And there's other little smaller nitpicks of, you really get it. The whole thing with Poe in the second half does feel a little bit tacked on. I'm glad that he's around. I hope that there are rewrites happening on episode 8. I hope that those rewrites are to make him more integral, to make him part of the trio of Rey, Finn, Poe. Oh, the single best thing, though, that this movie does is it introduces universally a crew of characters that I'm interested in and care about. Even sort of side characters like Maz and Captain Phasma, I like them enough that I would like to see them come back, which is fun. I don't really necessarily care to have their stories wrap up because they're side characters and whatever, but I'm fine with them and I like them. They're neat. They're cool. Same with Hux. But the main four characters, Rey, Finn, Poe, Kylo, are incredible, and I love them, and I so desperately want to know as much as I can about them and follow their stories. And interesting, I don't care really about their backstory, which is really refreshing and really cool, that these are stories that sort of characters that spring fully formed on the screen, and I don't need to know anything about their histories in order to care or like about them, which is a very neat distance from a lot of things that happen in action blockbuster storytelling now, where what matters is, or especially like superhero stuff, what matters is here's their history, here's where they came from. And for a lot of these guys, you know, you don't really need to know that. These guys are themselves, and they have been created to serve a purpose in the story, and it's refreshing and it's great, and I love it. 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 And especially Rey, I think it's like Rey, Obi-Wan Kenobi, and Han Solo are my favorite characters in Star Wars. They are... this is me not having had enough coffee and not being eloquent enough to explain the ways in which that I just adore the character of Rey. And it goes beyond just having a crush on Daisy Ridley. That's certainly part of it, but that's much less of a part of it than I would have expected going into it. I did a crazy thing, by the way, with this movie in that I never watched any of the trailers before the movie came out. I completely blacklisted any Star Wars content, not just Force Awakens content, any Star Wars content period, because who knows if some other stuff would slip in on Tumblr, at least, as soon as the first trailer came out, which was over a year before the movie actually came out. So for over a year, I had no Star Wars content anywhere on my dashboard, which was really interesting because it meant I kind of forgot Star Wars existed. It didn't show up on these important places for me, and if I saw any Star Wars news that would come up on any news site that I read or on Twitter or something like that, I would scroll away, I wouldn't look at it, and I sort of existed in a world without Star Wars, which was really odd, and meant that I didn't get super jazzed for the movie. I kind of kept forgetting the movie was coming out. It would be an intellectual thing I would know in the back of my head, but I didn't feel it the same way I think a lot of my friends did that were watching trailers and interested in these sorts of things. I don't think I'm necessarily going to do that again for episode 8. I think I loved being able to walk in not knowing anything about it. The only thing I knew was BB-8. I've seen the picture of BB-8, and I knew there was a Black Stormtrooper, but I'd forgotten about that because that was a big uproar from like a year ago. And I know that there was a three-parted lightsaber, and I think the guy's, I knew that the guy's name was Kylo Ren. That was it. That was all I knew about the thing going in, which was, it was good. I appreciated that. But now that I think this groundwork has been set, I have no problem. I already know a lot going into episode 8 by virtue of the fact that I've seen episode 7, so I don't need to go in with a blank slate. So I'll watch trailers, I'll get more into the swing of things. And it's been great because it was just such a Star Wars explosion on, especially Tumblr Dash Lord, that like I've basically become into a Star Wars fan blog over the course of the last month. Both because, hey, the new movie came out, and also for me, it was sort of making up for lost time. It was me remembering, oh my god, I loved Star Wars so much as a kid, and I haven't gotten to dive into that world again. And that's my favorite thing about this new movie, is that on Tumblr, the original trilogy is getting memed and gifted in ways that it never was before, because people are going back to it and giving it the meme and gift treatment it deserves, and I love it. Same thing with the prequel trilogy. And it's so much fun, because, man, for all its flaws, all three trilogies have their flaws, but man, Star Wars pretty good. It's pretty cool. It does some pretty neat things, with symbolism and iconography, and if there's a difference between symbolism and iconography, I don't know what it is. And religion and storytelling and narrative and good versus evil and all that fun stuff, and dogmatism and the ways in which that's bad on both the good side and the evil side. Isn't that right, garbage truck that's driving by and you can hear it in the microphone because these windows are too thin? It's a cool thing, man. Star Wars is fun. But I, a big thing that a lot of people have problems with is the fact that it is very much almost a remake of A New Hope. And it becomes less and less of a problem for me the more and more I get away from it, especially because a lot of the things that are remakes in it are very surface level things, if that makes sense. It's stuff that it's sort of mechanics of the plot are repeated, but with very interestingly different motivations and very different treatments of the things. I think the biggest sort of example of the way in which it's a remake, and also example of how it plays with the idea of itself being a remake, is with the attack on Starkiller Base. Because a lot of people say, oh, it's a third Death Star. Leaving aside the fact that, like, I kind of love, this seems more like me just being an apologist for it, I kind of love the fact that the, of course, this fascistic and image-conscious new empire that is partially led by a guy that is aping the Emperor's style and led by a guy that's so blatantly aping Darth Vader style, of course they're going to try and build a third Death Star, because they're like, sure, well, and they did a better job. It was bigger, it was better, it was way more effective and way more damaging, and it was way harder to blow up. It took a long time, and a lot of people died, and it was, no, one person died, two people died, because again, Han Solo's dead, and it almost doesn't work. There's some bad editing in that sequence, but because you forget, yeah, I kind of kept forgetting that Poe and the fighters were there because we cut away from them for way too long, but and then all of a sudden they pop back up and you're like, oh, okay, I guess they were doing their thing here for this whole time, fine, whatever. But yeah, we're running out of time. We gotta get to my point. The attack on Starkiller Base, it has a lot of echoes of the Death Star trench run. There is even a trench run that uses some shots from the original A New Hope trench run, but it is, if you compare this way of redoing that with the way that they have Anakin blow up the Naboo, or the Trade Federation starship, Anakin blowing up the Trade Federation starship feels much more like an actual carbon copy, with the weird twist of, oh, he's just doing it accidentally, which is just bizarre. Whereas in this case, it is much more difficult. It blends actually a lot of the sneaking into the Death Star, sneaking out of the Death Star sequence, and it is the thing that I find the most interesting is that it is not treated as a celebration. This is not a, yay, let's have a big medal ceremony thing at the end, which people both like and dislike that, and I can sort of understand liking and disliking it. But at the very least, what I appreciate about it is that here we're taking this thing and giving it a very different emotional tone. This is, it's not celebratory. It's much more full of grief and much more like, phew, we made it out by the skin of our teeth, than it feels at the end of New Hope. And I I have a point somewhere. But it's this general idea that with this movie is what they're doing is they're sort of repeating iconic things from the original trilogy and subverting them in ways by giving them different meanings and giving them different groundings and different emotional stakes. Yeah, overall, it's a very sort of deconstructionist movie. Although I think it kind of toes the line in very interesting ways, and maybe this is a problem that a lot of people have, is that it's not slavish enough to the original to appease the people that don't like the change, but it's also not deconstructionist enough to appease the people that just want to, like, let's have the postmodern, the full-on postmodern Star Wars. It's just, like, towing that line a little bit. It's a Star Wars movie that's inspired by Star Wars and homages Star Wars instead of homaging Kurosawa and Flash Gordon and Western and stuff like that, which is fine. That makes sense. Of course, J.J. Abrams is going to make a Star Wars movie inspired by Star Wars because that's the most thing to be inspired by in this era of modern blockbuster filmmaking. But it... I don't know. I'm running out of steam. This is not a good episode. This is bad. This is bad content. This is not quality content, guys. And for that, I apologize. I don't know. I wrote an essay about who I think Rey's parents are. You can read that. That's much more coherent and has much more interesting things to say. Blurg. Yeah, I'm just running out of steam. I'm just tired. I'm exhausted, and I shouldn't be nearly as exhausted as I am. But this is just the life we're leading now, I guess. Yeah, all of last week, I just could not bring myself to get out of bed. Whether or not I could wake up or not, I just could not get out of bed before, like, 10 or 11 on most days. I would just be sitting there and be like, nope, we're not moving. We're not going to deal with this. And today I finally sort of broke the cycle a little bit, although I broke the cycle by just royally demolishing my sleep schedule and just being like, no, we're going to treat this like it's jet lag and just burn through it. So last night I was in bed for approximately 12 hours, but slept for maybe like 5 of them. And I slept from like 8 to 10, and then from like 2 to 4 or something, and then from like 6 to 8. And it was just bonkers and crazy, but hopefully now I've woken myself up at the correct... This is the trick. This is the number one trick for jet lag, which has always worked for me, though your mileage may, of course, vary. Ha, get it? Mileage, jet lag, jokes. And that is to this may or may not be possible depending on, like, when you arrive in your place, and if you can hold off this long, but if at all possible, try and hold off eating once you've arrived until normal breakfast time, because your body will be like, oh, we've had food for the first time. Normally you go from like 8 to 12 hours without eating anything, depending on when you eat dinner and when you eat breakfast and when you sleep and all of that, but you'll go through and then your body's like, cool, now that we've had this, now it's time for morning breakfast time, and you're doing that same thing, only it's just a probably longer fast that you are breaking for your breakfast. So that's my travel tip for you if you're flying somewhere, go do that. I gotta find an end song. I don't have an end song yet. I should think of these things beforehand. Have we done any Grimes stuff? I like Grimes a lot, because she was my number 2 album of the week. Oh, okay, maybe not. Number 2 album of the week. Sorry. A, this is bad because this is a callback to an episode that I may or may not have released where I talked about my favorite albums of 2015. Second, I said number 2 album of the week, and by that I meant number 2 album of the year. So, let's go with... This is a song by Grimes that is called Kill V Mame. It's a fun one. I enjoy it thoroughly. Let's see how loud this is when I say... But anyway, I'm going to say goodbye now and have fun.